The Witness of the Spirit, Elder A. Theodore Tuttle, A. Theodore Tuttle, Conference Report, April 1966, pages 143-145. My dear brothers and sisters, obedient to my responsibility as a 70, having been called to preach the gospel, and to be a special witness, unto the Gentiles and in all the world, I humbly take this opportunity to give my witness or to bear my testimony to you all. In so doing I seek for the spirit of which Nephi spoke. Come, for when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. Testimony and witness, I bear my testimony that God lives, that He is our eternal and heavenly Father, and that He loves us because we are His children. I bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, that He was the first begotten in the Spirit and the only begotten in the flesh, that He was in the beginning with God, that He is the Creator of the world and all that is in it, that He is the promised Messiah of whom the prophets spoke for 4,000 years. Bear witness that He is our Savior and Redeemer, that He wrought the atoning sacrifice in our behalf. I know that He was resurrected on the third day, that He lives today and is the head of this His church. I testify that He will come again the second time, as has been said so often in this conference. I bear my testimony that Joseph Smith was a prophet, sent to the earth to open this the last dispensation of the gospel. I know that he actually saw God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and that he was instrumental in restoring the true Church of Jesus Christ to the earth. I bear witness that the apostleship with its keys and powers that were conferred upon the prophet Joseph have been conferred upon his successors and that President David O. McKay holds them today. I bear witness that this courageous, determined, noble man is indeed a prophet of God. I know that the modern scriptures found in this church, consisting of the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, are true, that to follow the plan of salvation contained therein will lead us to our exaltation. I know that we are members of the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which the Lord is pleased. Power of the Holy Ghost, some of you may wonder how it is possible to say without reservation and with such certainty that I know these things. This witness comes through the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, and it has come to me. This is characteristic of the true church in this and all other ages. This certainty has always been present with the prophets or whenever the church with its authority and priesthood has been on the earth. In days of old Job spoke with this same certainty, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. The Book of Mormon Testimonies. The Book of Mormon is a classic example of such definite declarations on testimony. The word know and such derivations as new knowledge, known appear frequently in the Book of Mormon. The phrase I know appears more than 100 times, virtually all of them testimony oriented. The prophets declaring a knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Testimonies about the Book of Mormon are equally certain. After having seen an angel in the plates from which the Book of Mormon was translated, the three witnesses bore testimony with words of soberness, saying, "And we also know that they have been translated by the gift and power of God, for His voice hath declared it unto us, wherefore we know of a surety that the work is true." About the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord said, "Search these commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled." In spite of such certainty of knowledge, there are those who still doubt the revelations from God. I had a bright, but confused, young man in my office just last week. His problem may be typical of this generation's searching, doubting youth. He believed only that which can be proved. It seemed easy for him to accept and believe the discoveries and conclusions of the scientist, but he was having difficulty believing revealed knowledge. I explained to him that there are different kinds of knowledge, some more readily discernible than others, but that spiritual matters must needs be discerned by the Spirit. This problem pertains not to this generation only. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, explained, "Knowledge by the Spirit of God, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." My young friend held to that old statement, "Seeing is believing." There is one realm, however, where it works the other way. Believing is seeing. The Lord hides some choice truths behind obstacles that will melt only before the warmth of faith. Faith, like courage, is tempered by trial. Moroni was speaking thus when he said, "And now, I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith." The still small voice testifies. When one hears the still small voice of the Spirit testifying that Jesus is the Christ, this kind of knowledge, for that person, is as valid as a mountain of so-called scientific evidence. That person really knows a truth. It affects his whole being. It affects all other kinds of knowledge that he may have. This kind of knowledge is not restricted to a special few. It is available to all who will receive it. It is our Father's desire that all his children shall come to a knowledge of his Son. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." A testimony can come to anyone who desires a testimony on the basis that Elder Hinckley outlined yesterday by a study of the Scriptures, by serving in the church, and by asking the Lord for a testimony. A testimony, when it comes, stimulates a man to want to progress. It gives him a desire to achieve. I met a man in Mexico recently, several years ago when he was baptized. He could neither read nor write. It is amazing today, however, to see this man holding a position of leadership in the branch, filling out the numerous reports that a branch president must send in, preaching from the Scriptures, and counseling with his brethren. This achievement was not imposed externally. This yearning to do and to be was kindled internally by as simple a thing as a testimony of the gospel. "I have received that testimony. I have given you my witness, the test of the truthfulness of my witness, as well as the witness of all those who have so testified in this conference, is not the acceptance by the non-members of the church, nor even by the members of the church. The test is whether God inspired it and recognizes and honors such testimony. Any of you may know of the truthfulness of these things which have been spoken by asking the Lord for your own personal witness that these things are true. May each of you be concerned enough about your eternal destiny so to ask. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."